Hi, and welcome to my favourite Elliot Smith song. Now, if you haven't listened to us before, this podcast is all about keeping Elliot Smith's legacy alive in our own very small way. And we do that by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hi, happy new year, and welcome to our very first episode of 2019. Today we're speaking to the musician John Paul White. Now, John Paul is a singer from Alabama who you may know from his solo work or from The Civil Wars, a duo he formed with Joy Williams that picked up an impressive 4 Grammys. And speaking to John Paul for this episode was an absolute pleasure, not least because his soothing southern tones made everything sound so poetic. But it's not just the way he says things, it's the things he says too. Elliot clearly had a huge impact on the way he writes, and his song pick is one we've been waiting for a little while for too. So here we go then. Here's John Paul White.
My name is John Paul White from down in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. My favorite Elliot Smith song is Waltz No. 2. If I am putting somebody on the trail of Elliot to make them a fan, I normally go to this song first. First of all, it's a waltz, and I think my heart beats in 3/4 time, because it's like every time I write a song, I have to will myself out of waltz time. It's a strange thing, but either that or 6/8, I consistently go there. I love that this song starts unabashedly with that pa pa on drums, so you know what you're getting into right off the bat. He's very heavy-handed with it in a wonderful way. First the mic, then a half cigarette. I like that this song is a little less, as much as I love his finger picking, I love that it's a little more strummy and a little more about the lyric and, yeah, a little bit more simple and bare bones than some of the more intricate things that he does. Even though it's still a complex song for him, I feel like it's a little bit more straight ahead and forces you to pay attention to what he's saying. And then what he's saying is complex and intricate, and you know, I've read where he talks about how he doesn't really know that his songs have a point, that they're like multiple photographs kind of burned together, I think is his quote. And I take that with a grain of salt, though, because I think as a songwriter, I think there's a lot of truths and a lot of points are being made that you don't necessarily mean to make, that you're not necessarily trying to make. With this song, when I first heard it, when I first started paying attention to it, I don't know that anybody else has this same take on the song. What I think this song is about is pretty dark. I think that the song is written from the perspective of a stalker killer. And I think that he's singing about a girl that he loves and has married someone else, and she seems unhappy. She shows no emotion at all, stares into space like a dead China doll. And then he follows that up with, I'm never going to know you now, but I'm going to love you anyhow. Now she's done, and they're calling someone, such a familiar name. I'm so glad that my memory's remote. They're calling his name because he killed her. And I think he's writing this song from prison. And I think he sings about the revenge to the tune of you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. And I think he ends up, by the end of it, he's in prison or in an asylum. And he says, you know, tell Mr. Man with impossible plans to just leave me alone in the place where I make no mistakes, in the place where I have what it takes. I'm never going to know you now, but I'm going to love you anyhow. I think the entire song is written from a stalker killer's point of view in an asylum, recounting the facts. And I know that no one else does. And I think that's the beauty of these songs, is that he leaves the edges just blurry enough, just vague enough, that you can take it wherever you want to go. And that's the brilliance of his music.
I like that that's what you've taken from it. And I know people listening to this may think that this song is about Elliot Smith and his relationship with his stepfather and his mother, and you know she's the dead China doll. Does that kind of cross your mind as well as a potential meaning?
Yes, once I knew his story, but before I knew his backstory, this is what I took from it. And the whole XO mom in the bridge, you know, I feel like that's just a letter home to his mom because he's stuck in an asylum and can't see her anymore. And it's an aside. But once I knew the story about his stepdad and his abusive relationship and moving around and all the things that I know he went through, that makes perfect sense that that's how people would take it and probably is more factual. But by God, I'm holding on to my idea. Never gonna know you now, but I'm gonna love you anyhow. Honestly, in my heart, I know that my interpretation isn't correct, but I don't know that there is a true, that as a songwriter, I talk to people after shows all the time, and they tell me what songs meant to them, or this song was perfect for me while I was going through this, or this, I know what this song's about, and they'll tell me, and it's never what it is. And I'm really proud of that. I'm really happy about that, because they can make that song personal to them and not just personal to me. They can actually step inside and be the actor in the play, and I think they feel something a lot more visceral than they would if I just made them listen to my autobiography. I had a songwriting mentor that told me never put a wedding ring in a song, and what he was talking about was the moment that you put a wedding ring in a song, you've just alienated everyone that's not married or everyone that's not in a relationship. And they have to just stand outside the song and listen to it and marvel at it. But you just take that one object out, and then everyone can step inside that song. And so I do that with my songs so that they can. And I think Elliot did the same thing.
What do you make of his choice of referencing other songs in this song? You know, he's talking about Kathy's Clown and You're No Good. Do you think, is that a device that just kind of helps bring you in and helps you kind of visualize what's going on?
I think so. Yeah. I think, you know, I've heard people say that maybe that's there's a karaoke bar or something like that. I don't know. I think the revenge to the tune of You're No Good, I think that's in his head. I think that's a jukebox playing in his head. I think we all have frames of references for everything. I can hear a song and I'm immediately dating a girl my junior year in high school, or I can see a TV show and I can remember watching it in the break room of a horrible job I had when I was in my 20s. So I think those little touchstones are things that he uses to frame time, to pull you in and show you that this is real life and a real world and not fantasy land. Now she's done and they're calling someone.
When you're with the Civil Wars, your project with Joy Williams, you put out an EP, Between the Bars. Was that sort of your tribute to Elliot Smith? Or?
It was. You know, how it started out, it was a song that I had, you know, sat around and played on my guitar a fair amount and had never really thought of it as making it a duet or the harmony parts or anything. And so it was just something that I learned how to play and enjoyed playing. And so I'd do it at soundcheck or things like that, but I never really thought about putting it out into the world because, I mean, in my opinion, everything Elliot's done has been done the way it should be done, and I wouldn't see myself reimagining it in a better way. And there's lots of songs that I can hear them in a different light, and they shine a different light on the song, when you get the production stuff out of the way, you hear how brilliant a song is. And with his stuff, I've always felt like they were packaged the way they should be. But when you add that harmony part that Joy added onto there, it did take it to a different place. And because the interplay of male and female voice in that song, it makes it just that little bit more heartbreaking and aching. And so I'm incredibly proud of that recording and that moment, but also how many people surprisingly weren't aware of Elliot and you know, thanked us for turning them on to him.
I mean, in terms of your own experiences with Elliot Smith's music, can you just tell us about the time that you first heard his music?
Yeah, I was in Nashville working in a studio, and somebody made a comment about, man, we should make these drums sound like an Elliot Smith record. And I said, who's that? And I got a lot of really strange looks. And so the session stopped, and they brought me to the console and sat me down. And the first thing I heard was Alameda. And man, I lost it. I had to stop the playback, and I felt like I'd heard it all my life. Instantly, I felt like this is a pathway for me. And I thought, this is where I head. This makes me make so much more sense. And it allowed me to go there when I was reticent to do that. When I kept pulling punches and thinking my songs were too sappy or sad or maudlin. And hearing him, I realized how I can package those messages, how I can, you know, the dressing around the scenery and the landscape around those messages that make it palatable and make it digestible. And also, I thought, I want somebody else to feel what I'm feeling right now listening to this guy's music. And if I'm feeling it listening to him, I have to believe I can go there as well, and someone else will feel that same thing, and it'll help them the way it's helping me right now. So it kind of became my lifelong effort to create those kind of connections with people that I felt in that moment.
What kind of ways do you see yourself as similar to Elliot Smith in the way that you approach things? And what kind of things have you tried to maintain that are similar throughout?
Well, I would feel very arrogant to say that I've come anywhere near any of his talents, but I definitely buckled down and started playing more guitar. I started getting way more into coming up with my own thing, because I was never a technically skilled player. I didn't have lessons or anything, so I just learned things by osmosis, watching other people play and messing up and liking what I heard and things like that. And so I really started buckling down and following my nose when it came to melodies and chord progressions and notes that I'm singing, the tension and dissonance between it and the actual chord I'm playing, which he did a lot and always drew my attention and always made me feel something. On one side of it, definitely I wanted to. And also, it just pulled the cover back where I knew that I could say whatever I wanted to say. And that opened up just an entirely new set of options, places that I was afraid to go that I no longer was. And every time I went there, I got feedback that I was looking for. So I owe him that. Never gonna know you now, but I'm gonna love you anyhow. The main thing is, you know, no matter what I say in a song, there's always a way to surround it in a way that makes it feel, as I said before, makes it feel palatable, makes it feel okay and soothing and dare I say, therapeutic. That's what he was for me. So I sincerely hope that what I do does that for others. I'm never gonna know you now, but I'm gonna love you anyhow.
Thank you very much to John Paul White for taking part in my favourite Elliott Smith song. And next up on the show, we'll have an interview with the granddaddy and Modest Mouse guitarist, Jim Fairchild. Elizabeth Wood Stanley caught up with him recently to discuss what it was like playing with Elliott, and that episode will be with you on the 24th of January. So that's pretty much it for today. I just wanted to quickly finish up by saying thank you very much to everyone who's been writing in suggesting guests. It's great to hear from you, and we are trying to work on the suggestions you guys have been making, so really thank you for those. Thanks also to Elizabeth Wood Stanley for production on this podcast. Hope you can join us next time for our Jim Fairchild episode. See you then.